How about a thank you to our instrumentalists? That was beautiful. We appreciate their ministry among us. I draw your attention this morning to one verse of Scripture. I'm going to read it from the New King James. It's Luke 2:7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. No room. Two of the saddest figures in Scripture, I believe, individuals that are the most troubling to me are this innkeeper and Pontius Pilate. The innkeeper, obviously, we'll get into here a little bit. Pontius Pilate, as we know, he saw no vile, he saw no cause for keeping Jesus, but yet he washed his hands of the situation. And as it's been, I've heard said in many a sermon, and heard a lot of people quote, nobody even names their dog Pilate. You know, you've never heard that. And I've never heard a dog named innkeeper either, so. But I'd like to talk to you about the innkeeper. And there's some things about him that troubles me, and I believe it troubles each of us. As we look in Scripture this morning, I look down and I see the Christ candle there in the middle of the Advent wreath. He's in the middle of the sanctuary. He's in the middle of the communion table. He should be in the middle of our lives. We should be focused on him and welcoming him in. What caused that innkeeper not to have room for the most important person in history? Some years ago, we were pastoring in Oskaloosa, Iowa, and they did what's called Journey to Bethlehem. It had grown over 23 plus years of doing it, from one scene to several scenes. And one of the scenes that they had, it involved like 200 live actors in those different scenes, and they rotated out about 400 people to pull off that event on any given night. But one of the scenes was the scene of Mary and Joseph coming to the inn where Pilate was. The man that they had that played Pilate on one of the times that he'd been Pilate for years was probably one of the most godly guys I know. It was Pastor Ralph. He was a professor at the Christian University there in the area. But he had the role of innkeeper on one of the shifts. And I can remember walking around through as pastor. I had like the privilege and somewhat the responsibility. I could take part in the scene, but usually I walked around and checked on things and would get folks water or a cup of chocolate or hot chocolate or something, you know, behind the scenes as the car was driving by, something to just try to keep things going and encourage them, because it would be bitter cold. But I watched this two times in particular that stood out. Pastor Ralph, playing the innkeeper, at one time you could see that Mary and Joseph come, and there's a knock at the door, and he comes, and he just takes his hand, and he motions away. And I saw that, and it just really troubled me. Walked on through and so on, and we did it for four nights. And so about the third night, I went back through again, and this particular time, instead of taking his hand and going like that, he just kind of pointed, and he slammed the door. And they had built all these different booths and so on, and that you could put them on tractor skids and set them in place. And the little inn was a shelter, you know, that he'd be inside. Just a simple thing. But it had a door on it. And hearing that door slam, it just echoes in my soul. It echoes in my being, that sound of that door slamming in the face of Mary and Joseph and the little child that was to be born. No room. What would cause an individual who really is in the business of welcoming people not to have any room for them? Was there really no room? Oh, I know the city was crowded and overflowing, and the tax was to be collected, the census was to be taken. People were displaced. This was taking place all over. People were sleeping in on the floor in different family members or relative or distant relatives' homes. Anything that could be used as a place to sleep was used as a place to sleep. Everything was thrown into chaos all over the land. The census was really good for the tourist business. You know, there was a lot of money that was spent just traveling. But surely there had to be room. Particularly if somebody just opened their eyes and looked, and you see a very pregnant lady. And you can tell that she's in distress, that it's really close. Couldn't there be a corner? Couldn't there be some place that you could, couldn't you just say, you could sit down right here. Oh, I know it's not private, but you could be at my doorstep. You could come into the front room. Maybe, you know, he's the one that pointed and says, we have a shed out back. Maybe he's not. We don't know that. It's just assumed that the shed out back, where the stable out back where Jesus was born, was behind the inn. But we don't really know that. That's just an assumption that we make. Is it a correct assumption? No room. It seems like people become more concerned about themselves than anything else, and more concerned with their agendas than any other agenda during this season. I had seen an illustration with this passage of Scripture that a lady was full down with packages, and she was loaded down and couldn't hardly carry everything, and then department store got on an elevator, and she was just exhausted. The elevator was almost full, but people kind of let her make her way in, and she could barely get in and shut the door, and she said, whoever thought of this idea of Christmas ought to be shot. And somebody in the back of the elevator says, don't worry, ma'am, they hung him on a cross. That's kind of the attitude that a lot of people have towards Christmas. It's kind of the attitude that a lot of people have towards accepting Jesus into their lives. Mary and Joseph needed some help. Couldn't he help them? Couldn't he take just a few minutes out of a busy day? I would imagine it got to the point to where Mary was saying, hey, Joe, we got to find a place to stop. This is getting ready to happen. And we don't want it happening right here on the donkey. We got to find a place. And as you know, they found a place. And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. The heavens declared his glory. The angels sang praises. The angels said to the shepherds, fear not, for is born to you this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. It's funny, it doesn't say you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes at room 7 at the inn in Bethlehem. No room in the inn. The heavens knew, the shepherds knew, but the guy who was face to face with Joseph and Mary and the soon to be born Christ couldn't even sense that it was something divine was staring him right in the face. I wonder, why was there no room? Maybe it was because he was overbooked. He was so wrapped up in all of what he was doing, and there were so many people that were coming in and out, and he was full to overflowing. Business was better. Sometimes business is too good. You know, you don't have the inventory to keep up with the orders. You can't possibly manage it. There's not enough food in the refrigerator, etc. Happens in our lives, doesn't it, that we get overbooked. We get so wrapped up in sometimes in cantatas and plays and school programs and dinner events and activities with friends and Christmas caroling, and all of that's important and all of that's good. And where are we going to meet this side of the family at what restaurant? And will they have an area that's big enough that they can seat all of us? And what possibly can we get Johnny and Susie this year? And what do you get a 76-year-old guy who's got everything that he possibly needs? What do you get him for Christmas that he doesn't feel insulted in? And you get and go to get toys for your kids and grandkids, and you wind up getting there, and they open it up, and they've already gotten three of the exact same thing. And there's not enough seats at the table. Why did we buy all these gifts? Why did we buy all that food? Why did we go all to that? Oh, we enjoy the Christmas parties. We enjoy getting together. We enjoy coming and worshiping. And thank you, Pastor Fred, for leading in worship last Sunday. If there was a day to worship, it was that day. He was born. He came. You see, it's not about the gifts that we give. It's about the gift that we've been given. We've been given the greatest gift of all. God's love came down. And he came not as a conquering hero on a white horse with a big shield and a sword and said, "Satan, I'm ready to take you on. Herod, I'm coming for your kingdom." No. He came as a babe who was wrapped in swaddling clothes, placed in a manger. The heavens declared his glory. The innkeeper, and I would imagine those up and down that street, didn't even notice that anything had happened. But all of the world and all of the heavens declared the glory, and God sent messenger to say that unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We become so overbooked with things and stuff and activities. And I know what it's like to keep a calendar, just like many of you, and sometimes our calendars just get overloaded. But is your calendar and your life so overloaded and overbooked that somehow you've left the light of the world out? I've closed him out, and I'm living in darkness of busyness, when the light of his presence could give me peace. I don't know. Maybe he was overbooked. But at the very least, Jesus was overlooked. You know, we can go through all these different things that I mentioned. School programs, cantatas, sermons, dinners, gift exchange, this, that, and the other, and we can go through all of that. And we can do it, and we can mean well. And we can do it all for the right reasons, praise the Lord. But sometimes in the middle of that, we need to stop. And just not overlook Jesus. Last Sunday evening, do a change in circumstances and our calendar that many of you know about, we wound up last Sunday evening in Middle Tennessee rather than East Tennessee. We had the privilege of being with Susan's family at her brother's house to share a dinner and Christmas time together. And right before we started the meal, we stood in a big circle, all of us, and Susan's dad spoke up and what a mighty man of God he is. What a humble guy. And he said, "Martha Ann and I love you, and we wanted you to know that, but we wanted to do something this year together as a family. And we've given every couple a devotional book." And he says, "We'd like to have every couple that when you do your devotions, that our whole family is going to do the same devotional each day together." So like in Lexington, Kentucky, in Cape Town, South Africa, in Somerville, South Carolina, in Nashville, Tennessee, Hermitage, Tennessee, Dixon, Tennessee, where our kids live in Murfreesboro and Lewisburg, and on, on that day, at some time during the day, we're all going to be on that one devotional. And he says, when you turn to that devotional that day, understand that Martha Ann and I, that's Susan's mom, that we're going to be praying for you. And we want to somehow make a connection together just through that simple event of breaking open the bread. To me, he was saying, this year, family, don't overlook Jesus. He needs to be in the center of our homes. He needs to be in the center of our life. He needs to be in the center of our marriage. How is it that we overlook him? I think Satan does a wonderful job of diverting our attention to this and to that. And we find ourselves so busy and we find ourselves so tired. We find ourselves sometimes just wondering, how are we possibly going to get through this? Have you ever felt like when Christmas season's over, you need to check into a hospice house for a few days? You need to just get in the recliner or crawl in bed and pull the covers over and let about 3 days go by so that you can finally catch your breath to go on. It was never intended to be that way. But Satan's kind of allowed it to be that way. We can be so busy, concerned about what's going on now and what we got to do tomorrow and what we got to do the next time, that we don't enjoy the present. And Jesus in the present is God's present to you and to me. Overbooked, overlooked, but I'll never be able to get over what he did for me. The innkeeper, did he slam the door in his face? I don't know. Did he point somewhere else? I don't know, probably did. Was the manger behind his inn? We don't know. We just assume. But the point is, it kind of speaks to us that unless we're very careful, and hear me, church, unless we're very, very careful, suddenly our lives aren't centered on him. Suddenly he's not the focus. Suddenly he's not the reason for the season. Suddenly we're more worried about things and stuff. I appreciated what Kevin had to say. You know, wow, what the miracle that the luggage showed up. I've been on airplanes like that before. Did you know God's really good at taking care of details? And he's very, very good at taking care of you. One other praise, really prayer request, but a praise. It was shared with us this morning by Virginia. Her son Ron was driving, coming through North Carolina, went to hook, put his foot on the brake of a big truck that he drives, and the brake pedal went all the way to the floor. No brakes, and he laid the truck over on its side. Ron's okay, bumps and bruises. But the Lord was there with Ron. Dear Lord, let Ron be able to see why and how you were there for him. Let me be able to see. Let each of us be able to see. It's like in the situation of Corey or Kevin or Ron, or God's traveling mercy on all of us who traveled, whether it was to Seattle or Kansas City as Malcolm and Laverne went, or Middle Tennessee as us, or wherever you might have gone. Don't get to the point, Mike and the rest of the church, that suddenly our eyes are on everything else. We can't see the forest for the trees, and we can't see the Savior because of the situation. And the Savior is right smack dab in the midst of the situation there with us. You don't face tomorrow alone. You don't face 2017 alone. Jesus came to give his life for you, and he came to hold your hand and walk with you through this year. And he knows exactly where you're at and what you're going through. He knows what was on that report and how it would wind up clear. He knows how to answer prayer. And he knows how to take care of this church in the days ahead. He's pretty good at what he does. And instead of sending a conquering Savior on a white stallion with a shield, a baby showed up. Ready or not, here he comes. There might have been no room for him at the end. There might not have been any room for him in people's lives in that community. A lot of his family might not have known who he was. There was room for him, though, in Pilate's judgment hall. There was room for him on Golgotha's hill. There was room for him in the garden tomb. And there's room for him now at the right hand of the Father, where he's ever interceding for you. No one loves you like Jesus. He's a friend beyond compare. See him at the throne of mercy. He's waiting for you there. No room. You know, each of us are innkeepers of our heart. You can let things into your heart, or you can keep them out. You control the door. You can look through the peephole of the door and see who's out there. You can open up the door to interact with them. You could just not answer the door at all. Or you could open up the door and say, come on in. I pray, I really pray that this year in 2017 is Jesus is at our heart's door and he's in the situations that we'll focus on him and we'll open up the door and say, hey, Lord, you come on in. You're welcome here. You're needed here. You're loved here. And we've been loved by you. And to be honest, we need you. I'm so glad he came for you and for me. If your name had been mentioned in Scripture, would you have been the innkeeper or Pilate? Or would you have been some other character? I hope and pray that you'd have been someone that would have been mentioned. Say, like if I was to use Tommy. Tommy let Jesus in. Monique let Jesus in. Lynn let Jesus in. Stan let Jesus in. Sandy let Jesus in. Not no room. God help us. And he has. And he will. And he does. Because Jesus came. And that's made all the difference in our lives. It's made all the difference in mine. It's made all the difference in yours. And somehow I believe if the Lord tarries and we come together at the beginning of 2018, we'll be able to look back and say, you know, the smartest decision I ever made was to ask Jesus to be in the center of this year. That I let him into my life. That I let him into that situation rather than I tried to handle it myself. Stand together with me, please. I feel like this morning that I'd like to have closing prayer. The altar call is like this. This is level ground at the foot of the cross. We're each here on the very first Sunday, the very first day of the new year. And if you're just, whether you've been walking with the Lord for 50 years or 50 minutes or 5 minutes, you're saying, Pastor, this year, I just want to make sure that God knows He's got room in my life. I'm not going to slam the door on Him. I'm going to open up and receive Him and what He has for me. Would you just try to come forward? I know some can't. Marlon, don't you try to come. I know you will. just saying, you know, Lord, I want to make sure you know that my life is open, my heart is open. And I honestly admit that I need you. And I'm so glad that you've come. Would you just kind of make your way towards the front here? And I'm going to ask George if he'd come and stand beside me here. And it had been mentioned about George's prayer. He's not the only one who prays in this church, I know. And he's not the only one who God hears their prayer. But somehow I feel this morning it'd just be fitting to ask George, God help us and lead us in 2017. May we have room for you this year.